next presenter is Dr. Ron Bowles. Ron's recently joined the Red Angus organization as a commercial marketing director there. He's got a wealth of industry experience. And the Red Angus group's got a feeder calf verification program that's kind of lost track of how many years, Ron. Red Angus verification program.
12 to 13.
So they've been at it a while. And Ron's going to share a little bit about their program. And you're all mic'd up and ready to go.
Thank you, Bob.
You bet.
Bob, I applaud you for putting this program together. Admittedly, up until about last October, I didn't even know what a PVP was, other than what the letters stand for. So my learning curve has really been straight up. Steve, I think you absolutely nailed it. When we think about verification in terms of saying what you're going to do, doing what you said you were going to do, and then providing a documentation that actually proves that you did what you said you were going to do. I think many of us would agree that we're entering an era wherein there's going to be even greater differentiation from one herd to the next, and the value of calves and feeder cattle and fed cattle. And obviously it would behoove any cattle producer at whatever level of production chain they operate to seize every and any opportunity to enhance the value of the cattle. To fully appreciate what the feeder cattle certification program has meant to the Red Angus breed, I'd like to discuss a little bit about the marketing programs at Red Angus. First of all, our marketing programs are built with our customer in mind. So the question becomes, who's the customer? Now, the Red Angus breed might be somewhat different than most other national level beef cattle breed registry in that we identify our primary customer as being the commercial cow-calf producer, in other words, the user of Red Angus genetics. And we service these customers in the obvious ways, providing all kinds of genetic information, ultrasound data and carcass data. But we also have designed the feeder cattle certification program to add value to Red Angus, our calves, feeder cattle, fed cattle, and even excess commercial females through the ProCal program. Why do we service the commercial cow-calf producer? Let's face it, Red Angus competes with every other national-level beef cattle breed registry for the commercial bull trade. Now, USDA tells us that we currently have 33 to 34 million beef cows out there, and it's every day when we get out of bed and go to work for the Red Angus Association, we're competing with Bill, with Marty, with every national level breed association to grab a bigger piece of that commercial bull trade. So if we increase the market share or demand for registered Red Angus bulls, we have additional growth in the commercial entity, and in reality, that really retains our seed stock producers by increasing the demand for their product. We're actually more enthused about retaining our current members, our current seed stock producers, than perhaps creating new ones. Now, yeah, I know we need to find new members all the time, but our primary focus is on retention of our current membership through the enhancement of the value of commercial bulls. In 1995, I believe the Red Angus Association was one of the first national level breed associations to create a commercial marketing program by hiring Dr. Bob Hogue. And one of Bob's first responsibilities was to establish the feeder cattle certification program as the Red Angus Process Verified Program. In many respects, Bob ought to be making these comments, so Bob, jump in here wherever or correct me wherever I need corrected.
In
94. Thank you.
Will you ask?
Yes, I do. It was the first USDA process verified program, and for the first 12 or 13 years of our 14-year existence, we had two USDA-approved claims. One was a genetic claim, meaning that the calves that carried the yellow red Angus tag with the unique six-digit number, the visual tag at that point, were at least 50% red Angus, meaning they were sired by either registered red Angus bulls or, in some cases, out of registered red Angus females. The other claim was source verification for trace back for whatever reason, disease, and so on and so forth. We were also the first breed to offer a value-based pricing grid. At that time, it was with Montfort, and since then, we've moved on to create a relationship with Cargill Meat Solutions. Before I became part of the Red Angus team, my cohorts in crime there, Greg Comstock, Ann Holsinger, and Bob, of course, was involved, jumped through additional USDA hoops to be able to add age verification to our list of claims. Now, Bob, as I understand, that was about a year-long process. Not an easy process, but we now do have a third claim, meaning age and source, which has offered some new opportunities for us. Let me back up and give you some history. When we only had the two claims, meaning genetic and source of the ranch of origin, our seed stock producers could buy tags for their commercial bull buying clientele and actually distribute them to the day of the sale. The other avenue of tag distribution was when Red Angus tag cattle came to a Red Angus influenced feeder cattle sale. Oftentimes those tags would be and could be sent on the truck to the destination feedlot. Well, when we added age verification to our list of claims, those opportunities or ease of tag distribution went away. Now, our members or our seed stock producers no longer able to distribute tags. Now, a number of them still opt to buy the tags. We just charge their accounts at the office. But the tags have to be sent directly to the commercial ranch of origin and put in at the commercial ranch of origin. No feedlot enrollments. We now use a temple tag, and we do not warehouse the tags at the Red Angus office. The tags are sent directly from temple. They maintain all the individual ID numbers by lot number, and those numbers are emailed to the Red Angus office. So we have two sources of electronic capture of these numbers. When we added age verification, USDA gave us a choice. We do our own herd audits in-house. We don't pay for it outside. But the last year, before we added age verification, the last year we were in, we had only the two claims. There were 735 participants, or what we call suppliers. Well, there's only two of us that do the bulk of these herd audits, and obviously there's not enough hours in the day or days in the week. So we obviously had to opt for the second option, and that was to develop an approved risk assessment program. And like I said, there were 735 participants the last full fiscal year that we went through. So we opted for the risk assessment program, and that does two things for us. First of all, it determines program eligibility, because not everybody gets to play ball with the program. And also determines how frequently we need to perform these herd audits. Let's briefly step you through the process here. Let's say we have a commodity Red Angus sired feeder calf. If someone wants to produce or participate in the feeder cattle certification program, they merely call the Red Angus office. We have two staff members there that do the bulk of this work. But the Red Angus staff will then search our database for account information. Bull inventory. A big part of our supplier evaluation process is making sure that they have sufficient numbers of registered Red Angus bulls transferred to them to account for the number of calves that they actually want to tag. Now, this is further enhanced by the fact that we have mandatory whole herd reporting. Therefore, we provide our seed stock members with the built-in incentive. They've already paid for the transfer on the calf out of that inventory female for that year. So they already have the incentive to go ahead and transfer the bull to the commercial participant in the feeder cattle certification program. Also look up previous tag purchase history and prior risk scores. Now, then they'll take these supplier evaluation process participants through a series of questions that loosely fit under the three categories that fit our three claims, meaning genetics, source, and age verification. And then at the end of the day, it's about a 10-minute phone interview. At the end of the day, then we place them into three different risk categories based on this questionnaire. And the questionnaire has a number of it's a point system, and it has a number of auto fails in there, if you will. Let's say they're high risk. If that's the case, they don't get the chance to play ball. We don't have temple ship on the tags. We do make corrective suggestions, and they can opt to incorporate some of the suggestions and come back next year if they so choose. We do have a few medium risk participants. We go ahead and enroll those people in the program. Temple ships in the tags. But our obligation to USDA is that we audit all of those within about a 6-month period of time. And unfortunately, the bulk of our participants fall under the low risk. They're enrolled, they get the tags, and then our obligation to USDA is to audit 10% of those herds every year. So we went from a commodity Red Angus sired feeder calf to what we call a certified Red Angus calf. We don't do all this ourselves. We have a number of partners in this process. We have, at last count, close to 30 Red Angus influenced feeder calf sales. Now, logically, most of those are during the fall months in the high plains and intermountain areas during the heavy calf runs. A few of them after the first of the year on those short yearlings. A number of Red Angus tag calves go through those sales. There's also a lot of these calves that are consigned to the three prevalent video auction markets. Not all the Red Angus cattle that go through these potential sale opportunities are tagged, but as a general statement, the cattle that are enrolled in the feeder calf certification programs last fall brought $2 to $3 premium per head. And particularly in some of the video auctions, the replacement females that carry the tag commanded significant premiums, oftentimes outselling their steer mates. Now, all the value is not captured only at the feeder calf or feeder cattle level. We also capture some of the additional value in the meat. For how many years, Bob? 12 Angus America, roughly. We've had a relationship with Angus America, which is a high-quality pricing grid that pays premiums for both black and red Angus cattle, owned by Cargill Meat Solutions, that, of course, produces two high-quality products, one called Sterling Silver, which has essentially the same carcass specifications as certified Angus beef, but doesn't require the black hide, and also Angus Pride, which is the upper half of low choice. We also have a relationship with Meyer Natural Angus, which has already been described as one of those never-ever programs, where I now actually pay cow-calf producers $2.50 per head for the tag cattle, and then offer significant premiums for cattle. They'll purchase fed cattle, but they'll also feed a lot of these cattle themselves. We're having open negotiations right now on the West Coast with both Washington Beef and also Harris Ranch to try to create additional premiums for feeder cattle certification program, Red Angus influenced cattle. Is it working? Now, yeah, we devoted a lot of efforts in marketing the Red Angus beyond the feeder cattle certification program, but we like to think that the FCCP has contributed greatly to one measure of our progress in recent years. These are our bull sale trends, and remember, we're trying to capture a bigger piece of that commercial bull pie. Going over the last four-year period of time, of the 35 to 40 Red Angus commercial bull sales reported to the association every spring or fall, over the last 4 years, the average sale price of those bulls went from about $2,000 to $3,000, and the number of bulls sold on average increased from 95 to 116. So if you compare the last 2 years, 2005 and 2006, number of bulls sold and sale average increased by about 14% and sale gross increased by about 25%. Another thing we do as a measure of our progress or capture of commercial bull trade is what we call the big bull buyers list. To qualify for this list, commercial cow-calf producers have to buy at least 4 registered Red Angus bulls in the current year or have purchased 15 bulls in the 4 previous years. In 2003, there are 232 commercial cow-calf producers on that list. In the last full fiscal year that we have full analysis of, 2005-06, that number more than doubled up to 556 producers on that list. And obviously, this is where we target a lot of our marketing activities. Let me summarize with a quote from Rod Frazier, owner-operator of Miles City Livestock Commission. Each producer needs to understand that their cattle are not the only ones for sale. They must look for ways to differentiate their cattle from the masses. And I think participation in process verified programs is just one of these opportunities. I also add that in the last full fiscal year that we've been through, that we sold right at 98,000 tags. Okay. Questions?
Anybody?
Bob, anything to add?
Great job.
Thank you.
What's the goal 10 years from now as far as number of tags sold?
How many cows are we going to have? That's a good question. Maybe we ought to internally talk about that. I will admit that since we added the age verification, we budgeted for a slight depression in tag sales this 2006-07 fiscal year. If projections come correct here for the next 3 weeks, we ought to be sitting on about 85,000 head of tag sales. Bob, how would you answer that?
The idea is to increase.
Sure.
I mean, steady increase.
Thanks, Brian. Anything else?
Ron, thank you very much.
You bet.
Nice man.
Bob, I do have a handout that I'd like to distribute if I could. And I'll wait until the other two speakers so that we focus on the screen.
Great. Sounds good. Appreciate that.
But
no, actually, this one right there is going to be.